Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
When I was in year six, my primary school teacher had a fascination with astronomy. Never been to astronomy. I look at the stars every now and again, but it produced the fascination in me to learn about astronomy. That particular year, Halley's Comet was, who remembers Halley's Comet? Any old timers in the house this morning? Halley's Comet was circling the Earth. And so that entire year, my primary school teacher dedicated a study towards Halley's Comet. Since that time, I'm kind of one of these nerds on the side who like looking at the stars. I have the apps. Anyone have the apps on their phones? I love looking at the apps where you can follow the International Space Station, and it tells you when the International Space Station comes across over Australia. You can literally follow it and boom, you see it in the sky. I kind of find it fascinating. But one of the things that I learned in year six was that Galileo was the first person to ever gaze at Saturn through a telescope, of course. And when he saw Saturn, to his surprise, he saw two objects on the side of Saturn. He assumed that they were moons. And as he gazed and as he looked, other astronomers got involved, and some astronomers thought that they were arms of some sort. And in fact, it was 50 years later that an astronomer solved the mystery of what they call Saturn's arms. He correctly saw the arms were in fact a ring system. In the same way, when we come to the Word of God, when we look at the Word of God, we have a measure of understanding. We look at the Word of God, if you will, through a telescope. We find, we look, we mine, we research. But over time, as we view the Word of God, as we look at the Word of God, the glory of Christ, the glory of Jesus Christ, what we once thought was an idea, we get a better understanding as time goes on. This morning, I'm going to preach a message from the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is one of those books that people have looked at through a satellite, or through a telescope, I should say. And looking through a telescope, there's all kinds of thoughts, ideas of what the book of Revelation actually means. And it's fascinated people. It's left some people perplexed. Some people have used it as an opportunity to create movies. Who ever watched Left Behind? Some people view it as a code to be cracked. They believe that there are secret codes in the book of Revelation that help tell you about the future and, of course, future events. Some people think it's too scary and it's a book to be avoided. But Revelation, the book of Revelation, in fact, is already in motion. It speaks to the past, it speaks to the present, and it speaks to the future. Ultimately, the book of Revelation is, in fact, a beautiful book, and it should capture all of our hearts. And the reason why is because it reveals who Christ is and his sovereignty across all ages. Now, one of the challenges with the book of Revelation is it's filled with, let's call it saturated, obscure visions and all kinds of symbols. And these symbols are there, in fact, to convey information. If you take it literally, you will get confused. But if you look at the symbols as a way of God trying to impart a thought or information to you, it's there to impart values, and it's there to stir your emotion. The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. He's been exiled for preaching the gospel. John wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. This is his fourth write. And as John has been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, a Roman penal colony for preaching the gospel, John's in prayer. He's seeking God. And God gives to him the most extraordinary visions, the most extraordinary pictures. And the scene, the one that we're going to look at today on Resurrection Sunday, is the throne room of God. Who's ready for it? Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" Verse 3, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly. How many of you know he's upset? There's weeping and there's weeping bitterly. This is ugly crying right here. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that he sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." If you were born in another nation, say amen. Four people were born in another nation. I'm one of them. So there's four of us in the auditorium. I'm your cousin. "And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked again and I heard the voices." Look at this. "And I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels," come on, "around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Just a few more verses. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him.'" Come on, you can say amen right there. Let me say that again. "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." What an incredible passage. Who's ever heard a Resurrection Sunday sermon from the book of Revelation? Here we go. The Bible paints a picture of the throne room of God. God is sitting on the throne. And the Bible tells us that he is holding a scroll in his hand. This scroll, we have a measure of understanding of what it could be or may not be. And in fact, the Bible does not reveal exactly what was written on this scroll. Some Bible teachers and trusted Bible commentators tell us that the scroll is in fact a deed. It's a title deed. And the person who was worthy to open the scroll has the title deed, has the legal ownership to the earth. Other Bible teachers and commentators, they view it as the unfolding redemptive plan of God. And regardless of its exact identification, what we do understand is that without the scroll being open, God's redemptive plan for humanity could not be completed until someone who was worthy enough, come on, stay with me now, was worthy enough to open the scroll. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And I saw a strong angel," watch this, "who shouted with a loud voice." And watch what this mighty, the strong angel says. It says, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" And this proclamation, this question that was asked, the Bible tells us that the angel shouted it in a loud voice. That is, it was a public announcement across all of creation, not only in the heavens, also on the earth and under the earth. Who is worthy to open the scroll? In Revelation chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible tells us that no one, come on, say no one this morning, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Now watch John's response. The Bible tells us in verse 4 that when John realized that God's redemptive plan was on pause, it says that he began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. The angel asked a question for a reason, and the purpose of the question was not to find someone who was qualified. The purpose, come on church, of the question was to disqualify. It was to disqualify those who believe that they were worthy enough. That includes every human being that has ever lived. All of the mightiest emperors are disqualified. Alexander the Great was disqualified. Julius Caesar was disqualified. Napoleon was disqualified. The wisest philosophers, Socrates, Plato, the greatest scientists, Da Vinci, Newton, Edison, Einstein, all have been disqualified from opening the scroll. Even the godliest people that we love throughout scripture and church history did not meet the criteria. Job, Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, Esther, John the Baptist, the apostles, the apostle Peter, the apostle Paul, they were all disqualified from opening the scroll. Even those who've been on the mission field and have lost their lives through tropical fevers or were killed for preaching the gospel, every single one of them was disqualified. And the Bible says that John weeps bitterly because there was no one, come on church, no one worthy enough to open the scroll. And it appears as though that the universe lacks a champion. John is traumatized with despair over this situation because everything and everyone in all of creation has been disqualified. And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, while John is weeping, The Bible says that one of the 24 elders said to me, the reason why it's 24 is because it represents 12, the Old Testament, 12, the New Testament. That is, both the Old and the New Testament speak to Jesus. Said to me, watch this, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, he has won the victory. Watch this. He is, come on, he is worthy to, he's worthy of the title deed to be the ruler of the earth. One of the names of Jesus, he is the ruler of all nations, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now watch how the elder refers to Jesus. It refers to him as a lion. The image of a lion speaks of dignity, speaks of strength, speaks of authority, speaks of power, speaks of sovereignty, speaks of courage and victory. Lions are 200 kilos of muscle and ferocity, utterly fearless. That is Jesus Christ. And they dominate everything that's around them. One of the features of a lion is that they advance and never, ever retreat. And in fact, a lion's roar, everything that's around them pays attention. And the roar of a lion, watch this, can be heard 8 kilometers away. The elder says, there is someone who's worthy. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now watch this. The Lion of the tribe of Judah speaks to his ferocious nature, not attacking people, attacking sin, attacking death, attacking hell, attacking the grave. And his fierce adversary has been defeated. He does not retreat. He always attacks. Now watch what happens. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping, look. He asked, come on church, he asked John to look. Look, look, there is someone who's worthy. But watch what happens. John cleans himself up, gets rid of the ugly crying, and watch the very next verse, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Then I saw a lamb. He was told that the Lion of the tribe of Judah was worthy to open the scroll, but when he looked, he saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. When John turned to see, the conquering hero who was worthy to possess the earth, who was worthy to possess the heavens and everything in it, was a lamb. Now, when we think of sheep, we know that sheep are helpless, they're defenseless, they need a shepherd, they cannot defend themselves, more so a lamb. But the previous verse pictured Jesus Christ as a lion, symbolizing authority and power. But this verse pictures him as a lamb, symbolizing humility and surrender. And watch what the Bible says. It looked as if it had been slaughtered, speaking about Jesus' death on the cross. Verse 6, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. But watch this. But it was now standing. That is, a lamb may be weak, but this lamb was not conquered. A lamb may be defenseless, but it was standing. The lamb is standing upright, conquering and triumphant. Christ, the lamb, was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. He is the only one who can save his people. And here's the central paradox of the Christian faith. Jesus conquered, not by force, but by death. Not by violence, but by martyrdom. And he shapes the hearts of people, not with coercion, but with love. And tens of millions of people's lives will celebrate him this weekend and have celebrated him over Easter weekends, not because of his dominance, but because of his sacrifice. And lives have been transformed, not because of his compulsive, roaring nature, but because of his compassion. Now, watch this. There's an obvious difference between what John heard and what John saw. He was told, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's worthy to open the scroll. But when he looks, he sees a lamb. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is referred to as a lamb 28 times, as a lion once. To Satan, sin, sickness, hell, and the grave, he is nothing but a lion. But to us, the people of God, he is humble. He's tender-hearted. He's merciful. And he is meek and compassionate and caring in everything he does. The response was, when heaven saw the Lamb of God, it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Every single human being, every achievement of humanity, every great and amazing person was disqualified. But there was only one. There was only one who was worthy to hold the title deed. His name is Jesus. And on Resurrection Sunday, when we think about Jesus Christ, what we hear and what we see may be different. You may have heard that Jesus is harsh. You may have heard that Jesus is angry. You may have heard that you're not worthy of being loved. You may have heard, if I walk into the church, the building's going to collapse. I'm not the worst out of all of them. You may have heard that. But what you will see is different. What you will see is a God who loves you, is a God who cares for you, is a God who's intimately connected with every detail in your life. He loves you. He cares for you. He's humble. He's lowly. He's compassionate. And he's caring. His name is Jesus. This question of the Lamb of God, we see it right throughout the Bible. Genesis chapter 22, you know the story. Abraham goes with his son Isaac on a mountain to sacrifice. And his son sees the wood and the fire. And he asks his father, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the lamb? Right throughout the Old Testament, that question echoed through the generations. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, where is the lamb? And then in the four Gospels, the emphasis is John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God. And as we receive the Lamb of God, the song of the redeemed, the song of the ages, the song that will reverberate through generation after generation, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. The God that we serve, Jesus Christ, He is a great God. And we sing His name this morning. We declare worthy is the Lamb. And we join, the Bible says, with thousands and thousands and tens of thousands times 10,000, singing, worthy is the Lamb of God. He was the only one who was worthy to open the title deed and possess the earth. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. That, church, belongs to Jesus. Why do we need to know that on Resurrection Sunday? Because when we think of Jesus Christ, yes, we think of a man who gave his life and a man who sacrificed. But as we open up the telescope and we look into the Word of God, my task today, my goal for you today, as we mind the truth of the Word of God is, who is Jesus? He is the Lamb of God. A picture on the screen I want to show you of the lion and the lamb. Strong, powerful, ferocious, authority. But also in Jesus is the innocence of a lamb. He is the Lamb of God who wipes away the sin of the world. To sickness, to disease, to death, to destruction, He is a lion and He is ferocious. But to care for you, to love you, to come with humility, to look after you, He willingly gave His life. He is the Lamb of God. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5, verse 7, He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. The title deed has been given to Him. He is the ruler. He has legal authority. He has all power. But when we think of all power, we know that, wouldn't that corrupt a person? But the picture that we saw, yes, He has all power, yet He is equally a lamb. He is the perfect balance, watch this church, of strength and humility. And we, as the people of God, come and say, worthy, come on, worthy. Because if I had all strength, I'd be like, I'm buying myself 1,000 Ferraris tomorrow. But that's not Jesus. He gave His life for you and for me. Is there anyone this morning who's thankful for Jesus on Resurrection Sunday? Is there anyone this morning whose hearts are full of praise? Come on in our online campuses. Is there anyone who's thankful for Jesus Christ? Thankful for His death, thankful for His resurrection. He loves you so much. He's the perfect balance. When you're in trouble, He's ferocious. When you have a need, He comes with love and compassion to lift you up. And we say, worthy is the Lamb of God. Come on in our campuses. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There is this idea in the book of Revelation of what they call lasting image. There's all these symbols and eyes and horns. And I mean, even in the passage that we read this morning, it said that the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. I mean, that's like, whoa, that's a bit heavy. The horn represents authority. The eyes represent all wisdom. Seven, of course, being the number of completion. He has authority, but he also has wisdom. That is the awesomeness of our God in Jesus Christ. And the lasting image is when you think of Jesus, is he ferocious? I mean, he can roar, man. You hear that thing 8 kilometers away. But he's not roaring against you. He's roaring against the effects of sin and death. That's what he's roaring against. But he comes to you with love and compassion and humility. Worthy is the Lamb. We love you, Jesus, and we give you all the praise. As we bring our meeting to a close in just a moment, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone, you don't need to do it right now, because I know you're wishing for Easter eggs, but we'll get there soon. I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium, just in a moment, to bow their heads and close their eyes. The reason why, there is a reason why, and that is because we're going to pray a prayer from this side all the way over to this side. We're going to pray a prayer on Resurrection Sunday that invites Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to be our friend, to be our Savior. Come on, to forgive us. We read this morning in the Bible that his sacrifice had the ability to draw people from every tribe, from every nation, from every part of the earth. People came to him. This is not a message, watch this, for all the good people. This is not a message for all the people who have their lives in order. This is a message for people who realize and recognize, I need Jesus Christ. It's a little bit like, imagine I'm in the ocean and I think I'm Kieran Perkins. I can take on anything. I start to panic. I get myself in trouble. It's like, man, I'm getting washed out here. Someone comes, they throw me a lifeline. I grab the lifeline, I hold it onto it. They pull me up. They're like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I thought I was Kieran Perkins. Today, the love of God in Jesus Christ is that lifeline coming to you, asking you, irrelevant of your background, irrelevant of how good or bad you've been, irrelevant, you need a Savior. His name is Jesus. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and I'm going to ask everyone in the auditorium to repeat this prayer after me. It's a prayer that opens up our heart to the love of God. Whether you're in Perth, Busselton, Southwest Sydney, even in Stellenbosch, you can pray this prayer as well. We're going to open up our hearts to the love of God. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus Christ. Come on, church, why don't you pray it as well? Dear Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Come into my heart and be my Savior. I receive your forgiveness, I receive your love, and I receive your acceptance. I'm now set free from my past. I'm now a child of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Maybe you've never prayed that prayer before. Perhaps you did a long time ago. Those of you online, those of you in our campuses, this is for you as well. But right here also in the auditorium, you've never given your heart to Jesus before. That's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. What you are doing is you're grabbing the lifeline and you're saying, I need a Savior. I need a Savior in Jesus. He's the one who's worthy. If you've never prayed that prayer before, you did a long time ago. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. The reason why, I want to see you. I want to pray for you. Those of you who are in our campuses, I'm going to ask you also to lift up your hand. Some of our pastoral team are there to help you, to love you, and to pray for you. Are you ready? On the count of three, you can be bold today. Here we go. One, two, three. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. That's five people so far. Who else is there? God bless you. That's great. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift it up nice and high. I don't want to miss out. God bless you. I see your hand as well. Anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. If you think that I've missed your hand, would you be kind enough just to lift it up again? I don't want to miss out on anyone at all. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. God bless you. I see your hand as well. Thank you for stretching it up so nice and high. Once you've put your hand up, you can put it straight back down. Is there anyone else? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. Who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. In Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see your hand as well. Thank you for putting it up. Just a few more seconds because we do need to move on. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. What a champion. What a good man. Come on, who else is there? Lift it up nice and high. I'd love the opportunity. God bless you as well. I see your hand. Good on you, man. That's fantastic. Anyone else at all? I'd love the opportunity to pray for you today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, thank you. God bless you, I see your hand as well. That is fantastic. Come on, just we're almost done. It's our final opportunity. Lift it up nice and high. I'd love to pray for you today. Who else is there? Who else is there? Come on, lift it up, be bold today. You can do it today. I'd love the opportunity to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, church, we're gonna pray for these people. But first up, can we give them a great clap of encouragement for the decision that they've made today? Come on, let's give them a great clap in our campuses. Let's give them a great clap. Let's give them a great clap. Are you ready to pray? Oh, come on, are you ready to pray? Come on, people gave their heart to Jesus today. You ready to pray? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your, I mean, you don't have to repeat it out. You can if you want, but you know, here's an opportunity for me to pray for you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for these amazing people today. Thank you for, watch this, life transformation. Thank you for new beginnings. The Bible says, if any of us be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Come on, church, all things have become new. I thank you that sin is defeated. Death is defeated. Destruction is defeated. Confusion is defeated. Depression is defeated. Anxiety is defeated. Why? Because the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, who washes our sins away, has come today and has set us free. We thank you for these people. We bless them today in Jesus' wonderful name. Come on, church, let's give them a great clap of encouragement. A great clap of encouragement. So good, so good, so good, so good. Come on, let's clap today. Let's clap, let's encourage. So good.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.